Boy, third week of July. The summer is flying. We're in Bloomington. Mayor John Hamilton, thank you so much for having us this week.
Nice to see you again, Joe. In the second half of the year, here we are.
Yeah. Now, you were gone, but we didn't know we were going to get you today, but we were able to get you. But you were somewhere kind of important.
Oh, I was at a conference of mayors, and then I also took a couple weeks off. So, city keeps rolling. I heard somebody describe an institution having a deep keel. Things keep moving. So, and there's been a lot going on in the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot to get to. The Conference of Mayors, where was that? And is that Indiana or was it
national? No, this is the National Conference of Mayors. Yeah, and they held it actually this year in Hawaii, which hadn't been held since 1963, I believe, when John F. Kennedy was there. So I try to go to that. It was actually in Indianapolis 4 years ago.
Wow. And
it's a chance to learn what's going on in other cities, and I get a lot of good ideas out of it.
Yeah. So let's just hit some of these issues. Still making headlines, the farmers market controversy over the vendor, alleged white supremacist. This past week, a forum held at City Hall discussed legal implications on why the vendor can't be barred. And we've covered this a lot, but has anything changed?
Well, you know, this is an issue that rightfully energizes a lot of us, particularly in this day and era. I mean, we're speaking shortly after our president made outrageous comments about racist comments from my perspective, and so it's a very sensitive topic. I'm proud that our community is engaged on it and making clear that as a community, we welcome everyone, and we do not have a place for people who do not welcome others. This community and this country need to make that clear, and we do every day. Because of rules about what government can do in particular, and the right of individuals to believe what they want to believe in this country under our Constitution, there are limits on what a city government can do in this, but you know, we are fully committed to making sure, as I have from day one, and I know my predecessors have in Bloomington, to make clear, this is a city that welcomes everyone, that wants everyone to be safe and feel safe, and we will continue to be that kind of community.
And the city has been doing a lot of things to help educate the decision, including this past public forum. Moving forward now, from what I understand, the vendor hasn't been back. If they do decide to come back, are people allowed to protest, or what kind of form of that, I guess, would be the line for people at the farmers market?
Yeah, the First Amendment stops government from controlling what you think or punishing you for saying certain things or thinking certain things. Government's not allowed to do that. Individual people and organizations of people absolutely can make clear what they think about hateful speech or hateful ideologies like this, and they should and can and do, and will be continuing to do that at our market. We will be looking, I think the market there's a group that advises the farmers market that's kind of sensitized now about this issue of, does everyone feel safe at the market, and how can we improve? This is the state's biggest farmers market. It's award-winning, it's vibrant and diverse and energizing and a wonderful place. I hate to miss the farmers market if I'm out of town, and we want to make sure it continues to thrive, and we will do so.
This past week, it was reported there was a field of solar panels not installed properly at the county water treatment plant. Can you maybe explain a little bit to those wondering what happened?
Sure. You know, first thing is remembering that we have quintupled the solar production in the city from the government. It was a commitment that we know our community wants to see, and we've made as a community. We've got thousands of solar panels that have gone on. I'm sure you've seen them at the pools and at the parks and the roofs of all these government buildings. So it's not exactly surprising to me that in this thousands of deployment of new solar panels, there have been a few glitches as they've gone. And one of them was at a water treatment plant. Just in terms of, I don't even know all the details, but in terms of exactly where they could be placed and how they could be done and mowing and various things, it'll get done, and we're going to continue to double down on the importance of renewable energy. That's our community wants it, I want it, and we're going to keep working on that.
So just in terms of them being installed improperly, mm-hmm. does the city, who's paying to have them reworked?
Yeah, this is a contract with a third party that is responsible to make sure they get done right. And they will get done right. And we've got thousands more panels in today than we did a year ago, and we'll have more in a year from now. And that private company, it's really what's called a guaranteed energy savings contract, where they put the panels in, they guarantee us a certain savings, and that's what pays back the company over time.
So then would they also be the ones, I guess, responsible for installing them properly?
Yep.
As well?
They are.
And okay, so I just think the residents want to know accountability in terms of, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we agreed with this entity that they get to put all these panels in our places, roofs, pools, ball fields, and utility locations. And if they don't do it right, they have to come back and fix it. I'm disappointed because I want the panels up and operating as quickly as possible. I'm still proud that we're quintupling the production, and it's not a shock that there's a glitch in this a little bit. It's actually hard to get panels these days. A lot of people are buying them, and that's a good thing. But we will continue to see more solar in Bloomington.
So 4th Street garage approval now sitting with the Plan Commission. They decided to push back the vote to August on the design, and I think what was a little confusing that night was it wasn't a discussion of whether or not to build the garage. That's already been taken care of. The commission's job is to move forward on the design. The two things that kind of stuck out to me, you know, was of course that land dispute with the Juan Sells Realty, which is tied up in court, and then also it being described as monolithic, the design. And those two things kind of seem to be weighing on the Plan Commission as it moves forward. So first off, your reaction or an update to kind of what's new right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. The downtown garage is very important. You know, people may remember there was a little history to this. The council didn't want to act on it, and we've continued to urge the importance of downtown garage resources to help not only the business, but all the retailers and civic events and all those things downtown that are so important. So we're committed to getting that done by the end of next year. It's also not surprising to me that there will be design questions. It is a larger garage. We know there's more demand for that kind of parking, and we had the chance to replace a garage. We're building one for the next few decades and want to get it right, and that's appropriate. The Plan Commission will be reviewing that, and they'll dig into it and try to make sure it's a good design, which we believe it is and will be. And there is, as you said, a continuing court case about the eminent domain, and you know, we hope to negotiate that with the landowner, but if we don't, this is the kind of circumstance that when you have a big public works project, you have the right to do eminent domain because you don't want one property owner to stop a big public works project. I actually crossed my desk this day. We're doing an eminent domain on a trail project, a little eminent domain that we need to do too. So I think it'll get done smoothly.
Herald Times has been really doing a good job. They have a three-part series I'm sure you've seen on the convention center process. First, you know, we talked about the memorandum of understanding last month, and you said that was within the works. You were expecting it any day now. Has anything changed on that portion?
Unfortunately, I still haven't gotten a draft of the MOU from the county. I'm frustrated a little bit by that delay, but I'm overall continue to be very positive. This is a really important project for the downtown as part of our string of pearls, as we talk about. You know, the convention center is 25 years old. People love coming to Bloomington for lots of reasons, including conventions, and we want to make sure we've got a downtown venue that meets the needs of the next generation of convention goers. And sometimes there's bumps in the road to do that. It's a little delay coming from the county on getting the MOU, but I'm confident we'll work through this, and a year or two from now we'll look back and we won't remember this part.
The other part to this would be the cost, according to the report, that almost doubled from $30 million to about $59 million. And so now there's a study that I believe the city is doing on now how to pay for that extra cost. Am I correct on that?
Well, the original $30 million cost that was referred to was the actual convention center itself. What is it going to take to do that? It was always an estimate, and it's still an estimate. We don't know. We've started to look. It depends on how big we want to build it. We have a steering committee that the county and the city have jointly created that's recommended a certain size. We have to scrub the numbers, but two other pieces of the cost are a parking garage, which weren't included in the first $30 million estimate, and then a new hotel, which may require collaboration, a P3 kind of public-private partnership, we'll see. All that's in flux. It's a complicated big project. We're doing a lot of financial analysis on what is the right size convention center to meet the market. What does that cost? Does it make sense to invest in it? Does it not? It all looks positive from my perspective at this point. I'm a little frustrated in the delays because the steering committee has recommended going forward in certain ways, and we're waiting for the county to move forward with that, but I'm confident we'll get there.
I could see some residents, taxpayers saying, you know, all of a sudden there's a 1% food and beverage tax going to pay for this new convention center, and then now, you know, a year or so later, oh, but there's not enough money still to pay for a convention center. What kind of funding is the city looking at?
Sure.
Or is it too early to really get to dig into that?
No, we can talk about the different options. I mean, the food and beverage tax is the main way that this convention center is going to get expanded. That's what was needed to create the opportunity to expand the convention center, and it's going to create the bulk of the funding. Tax increment finance funding is also available, which has been used in lots of ways for downtown development, whether it's parking garages or infrastructure or the trades district and the mill and other things like that. And then a new hotel, if it comes, would be primarily privately funded, which is what we've expected. But there could be partnerships with abatement. Tax abatement is another option to look at for these kinds of things. But all that's in flux. There's no proposal yet in place. There's no design yet in place. I think, from my perspective, the important fundamental is Bloomington's downtown is vibrant and an incredible asset, and it's been built up over the generations by our community. Having a convention center anchored there that is the place where people who come to Bloomington for meetings want to go is really important. Losing that to a suburb or not having the core downtown vitality be nurtured and growing would be a loss. So I think this convention center is part of that. And we have a lot of figuring out still to do and a lot of process to go, but I'm pleased with the progress to date, just a little frustrated with the timing over the summer.
Yeah, and you know, things have changed, like the new lot that the city wants to buy.
Yes.
On the corners at 4th and College, right?
It's between 3rd and 4th, College and Morton. And
now the city hasn't bought that yet.
It's not, but we're getting ready to close on it. And,
okay.
And that was an opportunity that arose that we didn't expect a year ago, frankly, and that has created a great opportunity to bring that convention center effectively closer to the square, which is what I think most of the visitors in the convention center would really enjoy, is being connected to the square. It would also help keep the vitality going to all those restaurants and retailers right down on the square from all the hundreds of thousands of visitors who come through the convention center.
And then, you know, just last question, but then wouldn't, if there's no money to pay for that, wouldn't it be financially advisable for the taxpayers to build it and land that's already there, you know, and not,
well,
and not add that cost to it?
It's a fair question. I mean, the Convention Visitors Bureau and the folks involved with that have done a really good job of assembling property east, west, and south of the Convention Center for expansion, which is great. We got the opportunity to look north, and using city TIF money, we're going to be able to acquire that block. That gives us more options. And then what happened was the process of this joint steering committee looked at it and said, okay, if we look north, south, east, and west, what's the best way? They said, it's north. I mean, connecting that convention center to the north is good. Maybe it makes sense to look. Maybe we can sell some of the property that we acquired for expansion that's not needed, recover some money that way to help support things. So all that's kind of in the mix.
We did have one question from Anil about the city's reduction of parking permits for the Monroe County Public Library staff. It's going from 50 to maybe 16 or something like that. But his question is more about Zone 4 itself is shrinking and moving further away from the library, putting an enormous strain on differently abled and older workers. Is that something that you're aware of, and how does that affect those people?
Yeah, thanks for the question. This really came out of not my administration, but the Parking Commission, which was created by the City Council. Actually didn't support that, but they created a new parking committee that then met and then made a bunch of recommendations on changes for parking, and those went to City Council. I think they're all legitimate questions to ask. the Parking Commission and the City Council have undertaken a number of changes on parking rules that will affect people. And I think the right place to go is to go to that Parking Commission and go to the City Council, and I think they're good questions to ask.
Governor was here lately to announce a big expansion of Catalent. That's huge for Bloomington.
You know, it is. Catalent is, I think they're crossing legally, technically, the $1 billion investment mark, continuing to expand. I know at that event they mentioned that their employees love working in Bloomington and they're expanding that kind of investment. You know, Catalent's expanding, Cook is expanding, the hospital's expanding. We have some of these major employers who are making clear that things are going well in Bloomington. They want to be here. And you don't read the headlines about many of the smaller companies that are making the same decisions. You know, Bloomington is a great place to live and work and raise a family, and we need to keep making it that way. And then when you do that, when you keep it vibrant, when you keep it active, when you invest in the public infrastructure that we need to invest in, private companies say, this is a good place to do business, and we're going to grow here.
And the kaboom went off without a hitch, I hear. I wasn't there, but I hear. Are you hearing the same
That's
thing?
That's the second year in a row for B-Town Boom, and we appreciate Cook and mentioning them, their partnership with this. They've been a big sponsor, and I love the idea of thousands of people coming downtown and enjoying the square, and then celebrating with the B-Town Boom, which I think was a little damp, I know, but it went off without a hitch. And then the parade the next day, it was a great 4th of July celebration.
Any announcements, anything else that you'd like to say?
No, you know, we continue to have a lot going on with the Trades District. There's activity there. The hospital relocation is creating, there's gonna be activity over the next few months, thinking about what we wanna do with that. And trails expanding and downtown cleanups going on and alleyway activation. And next month we'll have to catch up on more of those.